Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
It's May the 11th already. It's also known as Mother's Day weekend. So happy Mother's Day, Jan.
Well, and happy Mother's Day to you, Denise. Oh,
well, thank you very much. And if you're out celebrating your mom, you know, you'll make sure that if she's a gardener, there's lots of gifts to get her.
Yes.
And it's not just limited to gardening gloves. I see you have beautiful botanical earrings today. I think your little hummingbird earrings.
I do. My little spirit bird is with me. And my kids know now. Man, all I have to do is give mom a gift card and, you know, make shopping easier for her, I think. And, or they also have contributed to my Master Gardener license plate that says Granny on it. So
right. And no matter how you're celebrating Mother's Day with those mothers in your life, we hope that you're able to get outdoors and enjoy the weather.
It's so perfect. This is the best time of all.
It really does. And another congratulatory message to our El Paso Master Gardeners.
Yay!
A couple of weeks ago, they attended the Texas Master Gardener Conference, and they were actually awarded the first place score in the research category for the Extension Master Gardener program in the state.
I didn't participate in it too much except to be a cheerleader, but boy, I'll tell you what, they did lots of work. They dug in the dirt, they planted tomatoes, and then they tracked everything right, so that they could submit that information not only for the home gardener, but also for some commercial uses as well. So very valuable information, and I'm so proud of those people that worked. There was quite a team. They deserve big kudos for what they accomplished with those trials and certainly the awards.
And all of the information that is found through their research tomato trial can be found online at the Texas Master Gardener website at txmg.org/El Paso. So we looked at a few different types of tomatoes that weren't normally grown in El Paso and had some interesting results. And if you'd like to find out more, just go visit the website
for all of that. Very interesting.
Yes. And so we're kind of wrapping up the academic year. I know that with Mother's Day comes along graduation season, and you know what that happens is that school's going to be out for summer.
Children, my adult children say that it's the busiest month of the year. You know, they're wrapping up there, and the kids are getting excited, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do with these kids this summer? Well, we've got some great thoughts and ideas about that, right, Denise?
Exactly. So it's definitely going to be a time to keep your kids engaged. There's a lots of other activities. You got family vacation. But I think the underlying thing is that most people that time outdoors with your kids. And let's first tackle off a pollinator garden or a wildlife garden.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Sometimes, you know, you're just really amazed when you start testing your sprinkler system or even just out in the garden and the systems are running. It's amazing when you add a little bit of water, how much life comes to the garden.
It does.
You start seeing those butterflies coming in, you even see little birds or little other insects come
in. Bees, and the bees are back.
Exactly. And those guys can definitely benefit from a couple of things. Number one is going to be a nectar source where they're able to, like your hummingbirds, for example. So you want to make sure that when you choose your plants for your wildlife or your hummingbird garden, you want to get tubular flowers.
Right.
So like maybe the Tacoma stance, also called Esperanza, it has some beautiful yellow flowers.
Exactly.
There's a lot of different types that are out there as well. So always keep that in mind. The little tubular flowers are great for those hummingbirds.
Trumpet vine, Turk's cap.
Wonderful.
Those are really good plants, and the pollinators really seem to love the lantana as well. Mm-hmm. The bees, the butterflies, and the hummingbirds. And I really have a passion for hummers, and I have feeders.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed that when things start blooming, that they go first for the natural nectar.
Right.
And those, if you do have the feeders, you want to make sure that you keep them good and clean. Provide that water source for the bees and the, you know, it's, but you have to keep it cleaned out.
Otherwise, right,
the water gets snagged at, you're looking at mosquitoes and that kind of stuff. So be careful about that.
Yeah, definitely doesn't want to be able, you don't want to necessarily have everything blooming at one time. There's always that progression of plants. You know, you have your herby bloomers that are going to attract your pollinators first. And then after that, you want to extend that growing season. And those are really great great space for that feeder to fill is those in-between times,
right,
when you want to make sure that you encourage those hummingbirds to come into the garden and stay in the garden, because you will get repeat hummers once they know that you're there.
Well, and there was an article on one of the TV channels the other day about a gentleman in Georgia who had rescued a hummer, and he was very surprised because the hummer pretty much stuck around all winter, and then when it did leave, it came back, and it came back to him. Well, hummingbirds do that. They frequent, you probably could name them. You have the same hummer that you had last summer. I know I'm seeing a lot of black gins right now.
Wonderful.
And they almost come up to the window and say, well, hi there, but keep those feeders up high. Cats, are kind of the enemy for the, and we love our cats too, but protect your feeders and protect them. You know, they've learned to live together for time immemorium, so there's no reason that they can't live well together in your home.
Yeah, the biggest threat is going to be your domestic cats on there.
Right.
And as far as your hummingbird feeders or anything that you're trying to attract to your garden, you want to make sure that you have a series of understory or canopies to kind of protect the plants. One of my things I always see people, there's a field of grass and then there's right smack in the middle a hummingbird feeder. You've seen it as well.
It looks weird. It doesn't fit.
Out of place, and then people wonder, well, why don't the hummingbirds come to my feeder? Well, they need that sense of protection, that sense of being able to either perch or to just to feel safe enough to even go to that source. So put it underneath a little tree, off in a little nook into your garden as well. And, they'll find it.
They will. I've hung hooks in my large pecan tree and then hung the hummingbird feeder off of that. And then they, like you say, they get that protection. And there's other nectar-bearing plants that are in the vicinity. And the other thing I think we don't talk enough about is our bees and our butterflies. Mm-hmm. And, we're talking about kids in the garden and, there's a bee, and I'm terrified. Right. Those bees are not going to bother you as long as you don't bother them. The great big ones are the carpenter bees, and they're really friendly little guys. I've never had one ever be aggressive with me.
Right.
And I found that bees will not bother me unless I bother them. Think about it. You're invading their territory.
Right.
And you won't want somebody breaking into your home, so why would you want to? If you were a bee, you would not be thrilled about it either. Another great plant for butterflies is called Greg's Blue Mist, and it can almost be invasive. It's a real pretty periwinkle blue blossom, and it spreads on roots that, spread underground. And so you can take the root cuttings and get them started. And the butterflies absolutely flock to that plant all summer long. I'll count anywhere from 15 to 25 butterflies at a time, usually the viceroy.
Oh, huh.
But I've had, you had gifted me one time with a Pam's Pink Honeysuckle.
Oh, wow.
And I had a giant swallowtail out there not too long ago.
Oh, wonderful.
And so it's like, we've got friends in our garden. And those are the things that kids are particularly enamored with, I think.
Right, exactly. And not just counting them, but also identifying them as well. That's really great to be able to look at that. And going back to your bees, a lot of our native pollinators are solitary bees. They're not going to swarm. They're not going to have any kind of hives that are visible on there. Just kind of let them do their thing. I find the best thing for, especially with working with smaller children, is just tell them, okay, just ignore it.
Exactly.
Don't swat at it.
Don't scream
and holler. Yeah, exactly. They're not interested in you.
Right.
They're looking for flowers.
It's really the truth.
And I think to be able to make that connection is really important, because you kind of get over that feel. I mean, obviously, a yellow jacket if you see here and there.
Yeah, not real crazy. Yeah, that may be a little... No, thank you.
Right.
A little iffy, but one thing at a time. And I think another great garden to get your kids involved in this time of the year is your vegetable gardens.
You can do
vegetables almost anywhere. I've seen a lot of things that are being incorporated into ornamental gardens. Containers are wonderful, and get the kids started on those. Of course, your tomatoes should have been in a long time ago. But this is also the month for planting your direct sow things like peas and okra, beans, squash, and those kinds of things. And it's fascinating to watch how quickly they come up. So you can do raised beds. In fact, we recommend, if this is your first time out, that you want to start smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never plant more than your spouse or your kids can take care of. And then before long, they're going to be out there harvesting those things and hopefully taking them into the kitchen, learning that squash is not the enemy, but it's really very tasty. There's all sorts of different ways to fix it. The same with your herbs. So it's truly from, you know, from the garden to the table. And that's important.
Right, exactly. And, you know, younger kids, they like to be out there and they don't mind getting muddy or dirty. But as they get older, we hope that they get the appreciation of gardening. But also as they transition to maybe a little bit older ages, and my kids are growing up at this point. But one thing that we're trying this year is to do a garden journal, but not so much a traditional garden journal, more so like all of the cute little banners and the pens and pencils that all like the young kids are doing.
Sure.
And keeping that, because I think that's also a way for them to have a creative outlet, and then also to be able to track your visitors, say you're not your just your quantity of butterflies, but the species, identify
yes.
those, and you catalog all of that in a really great visual, appealing kind of way.
That's an excellent idea, Denise.
And I think one really important thing to start off with is even just getting your package of seeds. Like I tell everybody, don't waste your time. If you're going to plant cucumbers, don't buy the seedlings off the garden shelf.
No, just pop the seeds in the ground.
Exactly.
Make sure the ground's warm enough. The same with chilies.
Exactly. So the back of those seed packets have just enough information to get you started. They know exactly when to plant them, the distance to plant, how long it's going to take for the seeds to germinate or sprout, and then the number of days it takes to harvest. So all of that can go into the gardening journal so that
sure.
kids feel really motivated to be out in the garden and kind of see and track where their plants are and when those little cucumbers or whatever you choose to plant are ready to harvest.
And I think that makes a big difference. You know, as adults, there's nothing that's more satisfying than picking those, harvesting whatever vegetables and bringing them inside and making your salad that night. We've done a really good job out at the AgriLife Vegetable Garden with, we planted some late greens, and we've had spinach and kale and, a red romaine lettuce that's just been wonderful. And there's nothing like we still get excited about harvesting those things. And that's how we get our kiddos started. Get them away from the telephone. Get them away from the televisions. Roll in that they may not be aware that you're rolling in that nutritional component. It's really, really an important thing to do so that we can get back to a healthier society. And like you said, to be outside and enjoy Mother Nature, there's no better time to do it.
And numerous research studies have shown that there's a correlation between children helping, being part of the growing process, to be willing to taste new vegetables. It doesn't
Very
necessarily
good.
Mean mm-hmm. that they're going to like it, and then the opportunity to taste something different. So I think all of that is going to expand their palate. I still hope my son is going to like tomatoes eventually. Right now, he just likes to grow the tomatoes, but
sure.
not necessarily eat them. But it's just all part of the
all
process.
All things in time, Denise.
Exactly. So I think there's a lot of different opportunities to be able to engage your kids outside in nature, whether it's your own backyard, your park, or even one of the natural trails out in our surrounding area.
Exactly.
So a lot of opportunities. Make sure that you visit our Master Gardener website or call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We have brochures, guidelines on creating pollinator gardens, butterfly gardens, and all of your summer veggie calendars
exactly.
as
All
well.
Sorts of,
Wonderful.
Rome wasn't built in a day, but we'll help you get there.
Well, we hope you get back outside with your kids and enjoying gardening and enjoying nature, and have a great rest of your weekend. We want to thank Danny Gonzalez for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.